Well, this bill would clarify the legal requirements that a seed library and others who engage in seed sharing have to comply with. We were basically addressing a gray area in the law that had seed libraries in particular quite concerned. They might have some regulatory actions take place that would, as far as our perspective and their perspective, likely be overreach, excessive and unnecessary. So we sought to prevent that from happening.
And a seed library, for people who don't know, I mean, quite often are pretty small operations, but they can be much larger.
All the seed libraries that I've become aware of through this this work have been on that small scope. I'm not aware of any in Illinois that one might consider large. For example, there's one that's built into just a regular suitcase, and it's got drawers that house the seeds. But if you can picture the size of just your regular average size suitcase, that's not anything really massive. There's another that I've seen in person that is just maybe a foot tall, and it had 9 drawers in it, just an old card catalog type drawer system. So again, very small scale.
And the term library really does fit here, because you can go and check out the seeds, grow the seeds, and then you can contribute back to this.
Exactly. And that's all voluntary, so there's no charge for people to check the seeds out to begin with, and then it's up to them if they want to start learning some seed-saving skills and donate seeds back at the end of season. That's really encouraged, because one of the benefits of this is that you start adapting various strains of seed of genetics to your particular location, which can help if there are extreme weather patterns or things like that. You might have a hardier plant if it's been grown in that particular locale for a number of generations.
We're talking with Rebecca Oslin. She's a policy associate with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, and we're talking about legislation that has passed the General Assembly and is in the process of being sent to the governor, and it would give some protections to seed libraries. I guess this was not legislation that was on probably a lot of people's minds during the session. It did not maybe get as much attention as certainly issues like the budget, of course. Why is it important to have this protection in place?
Well, what we saw happening, and maybe we could get into the history a little bit of why we even went down this path. In 2014, two other states' regulatory bodies, their departments of agriculture, had attempted to enforce their regular commercial seed laws against seed libraries in those states, which would have forced them to do things like test seeds. Which, at least in Illinois, would be a $9 expense per sample, and the laws are written saying that it had to be a minimum of 400 seeds. So, like we were just saying, these are small activities that occurred. 400 seeds is extremely excessive for the scale we're talking about. There'd also be permitting requirements and particular labeling and record keeping requirements that included lots of information that really didn't make any sense in the context. So once those two states had gone down that enforcement path, seed libraries in Illinois got really nervous that a similar thing might happen here. And some of them even stopped offering seeds back to their communities that community members had shared with them. So there was a real chilling effect of the actions that took place in other states, and it was a real shame to learn that some of these regions of Illinois that have really locally important types of heirloom plants had stopped offering those to the community. So we really wanted to give them the legal certainty to get back into doing this really beneficial, positive activity, educating their communities, sharing these important heirloom seeds. And so that was the whole purpose and intent of what we did here.
And a lot of what you buy nowadays, if you go and buy seeds, many times you're going to be buying some different types of hybrids, but you're talking mostly about heirloom varieties that are passed down generation to generation that are available in these seed libraries that people can check out, and it just keeps that diversity intact.
Right, exactly. If you plant hybrid seeds, you're not necessarily going to want to save those seeds and plant them the next year, because you're definitely not going to get the same the same results the next year, they'll revert back to their parent genes or get some random strange results. So really what we are talking about, if you're going to be saving seeds and replanting them, these would be heirlooms and typically open pollinated. Some of the seed libraries do get donations of commercial seeds that they offer, but I think most of them that I've talked to have tried to stick with heirlooms so that then that idea of continuing to save and replant is still an option. But the goal was really to have people learning these skills and enhancing that biodiversity with those really locally adapted varieties. A really shocking statistic that I've come across in my research, National Geographic had put out a graphic that showed how 60 varieties of food seed that were studied over an 80-year period from 1903 to 1983, we had seen an extinction rate of, I believe it was either 93% or 94% off the top of my head. But that's really scary. 93-94% loss of food species, food seed species, because a lot of us don't think about it, but there's, if you think of a carrot, they're not just orange, they're all kinds of colors and shapes. That's what we talk about when some of those very specific varieties start going extinct. We're losing diversity. If you think back to the Irish potato famine, for example, we really don't want to go down that path where we're relying on fewer and fewer varieties of these foods that we rely on to survive. So anything that we can do to encourage the preservation of the great diversity of plants that that we do use as food.
It's not just about plant diversity. In some cases, it's about history, families, or even a community.
One particular seed variety that I learned about in this process that I thought was particularly interesting, and I would imagine that many communities throughout the state have may have similar stories, but this in the Des Moines region, so southern Illinois, particularly Mulkeytown, Illinois, there's a hollyhock that locals refer to as Priscilla's hollyhock. And this seed carries a unique story with it that the town has kept alive. Years and years ago, there was a young girl who was a slave in the South, and her master died, and this was where she had grown up. So she had really gotten to know the flowers in the garden and took some of the seeds of this particular hollyhock, took them with her, ended up being purchased by a Native American, taken on the Trail of Tears, was purchased in Mulkeytown, Illinois, by a family who purchased her to free her, and she lived the rest of her life there. And she planted those hollyhock seeds. She had carried them that whole way with her, and the community has actually kept those seeds growing year after year. So this is an example of a really special heritage that exists in this town that library wants to be able to offer to the community, and has just they've been chilled by what happened in these other states and had stopped offering those seeds. So we really want them to be able to circulate those seeds. We want other communities to circulate their important seeds as well.